Mother's Day and Thanksgiving weekends, because we find it's just a great time. Of course, Mother's Day, there's a bit of a natural connection there, but Thanksgiving, you know, half the year later, but also specifically because there's a lot to give thanks for in these new little ones. And so we want to celebrate their lives, but it's also because of what we believe baby dedication is really all about here at the Vineyard. First of all, it's really about the purpose and plans of God for the life of a child. You know, one of the things when we talk about that, you know, there's nothing that anyone else can do that would cause me to be a follower of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. They can share with me, they can tell me, they can guide me, they can help me, but it's something that I have to fulfill. And even as I make my commitment to Jesus, then whether or not I will fulfill all the things that God wants to do in my life, whether or not I will fulfill my destiny. And so one of the things that we do in a moment like this is to speak over them life and health and godliness, and to pray for the decisions that they're going to be making along the way, for the decisions they will make to follow Christ. And when they do that, we look forward to baptizing them by immersion as a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But what we do today is we stand in the gap for these children with intention, with hope, with expectation. And when we do that, you know, in a way, it's almost a misnomer to call it baby dedication, because when you get right down to it, that means it's parent dedication. It really is. You know, it's not only about God's plans and purposes for the lives of these children, but it's also about a parent's commitment or their dedication to rearing those children to know the Lord. And so one of the things that sometimes is misunderstood is, well, I dedicated my children and I, you know, they didn't, you know the Lord, didn't follow the Lord. And, you know, a big part of this is not that we just go through a ceremony, but that the parents that are coming up understand that it's really their dedication. It's a time of them reflecting on what it means to raise a little one and to share with them and to build them up and to give them wisdom and direction. Not that we can make them do what we want them to do, but in the hope that they will get that heart from us. And so one of the greatest things that parents do is live their lives in front of their children in such a way that their children want to grow up to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then the third thing is that we believe as a church body that it is incumbent upon us to be the kind of place where a child can grow up and discover what God's plan is for their life. And so it's important to us when we talk about being a church family that we don't just do that in some kind of marketing kind of way. We don't just do it in some kind of friendly kind of way. Oh, we're the family of God and things like that. But that we have this sense of obligation that when we communicate one to another, that we remember that the children are listening and watching and they're deciding whether or not our faith is worth imitating, whether or not it's something that they want to own for themselves, or whether they will heartily reject it because there's a huge gap between the words that we say and the way that we speak to one another. And so it becomes very important for us as a church to have this very sobering moment when we dedicate children and say, am I living with my brothers and sisters in Christ in such a way that the children who are watching are getting the witness of Christ rather than witnessing a reason not to believe? And you know what? When I speak about the children in this and our responsibility as a church, can I remind us of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4? Where there is no ox, the stall is clean, but the oxen produce a great harvest. You know what that says? There's messes to be cleaned up. Get over it. If you want to have a generation to continue, if you want to see the church grow and prosper, then church, pick up their messes without complaining. Teach them to pick them up too, because they're going to be adults someday that are going to have to pick them up. But you know what? Don't complain. Don't complain, because we could have a really empty stall with no mess. and no future and no harvest. So church, let's make sure that we make this place a safe place for our children. Well, with that said, here's the good news, that we have God's incomparable power to bring to completion the good works that he begins. And so this morning, as we dedicate these children, not only is it our responsibility to raise them and to bless them and to do all the, but here's the thing, God's in this. He is able to see to completion the promises, the vows that are made. And so we must not underestimate the power of God to work in us, to move us beyond a place of family tradition or church business, and to believe that he is for these children and that he will stand with them throughout their lives. So we have five children today for dedication, and I'm going to bring them up one at a time. I'm going to go ahead and ask moms and dads, would you go ahead and go ahead and come up to the front rows here, just so that we to expedite things. And I'm going to ask April and CJ if they bring up Gage first. There they are. Yay. So I had to ask Gage to come up first because Gage is kind of like the youngest member of the staff. He is the pastor of staff encouragement. Whenever you are having a bad day, you just go in and you hold Gage for a little while and you feel better. So actually, I wasn't having a bad day, but as I was praying for all the other kids, I just so happened I went in and I grabbed Gage for a little while, and he was sitting on my lap as I was working all of this. So he's really helped kind of set the mood for this. Thank you, Gage. Yeah? Yeah? We good? Yeah? Yeah? All right. Gage Christian Gordon, born on December 12th, 2015. And Gage, his first name means measuring something or a standard of measure. And his middle name, Christian, is CJ's actual name. We call him CJ, but he's actually Christian. And that name means little Christ. And as I was praying for Gage, the verse that came to my mind was Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And so, you know, I immediately thought to myself, oh, it must be something about ministry or something, you know, mom's youth pastor and all that. And then as I was praying, what I really got this strong sense was, as I was holding him and praying for him, is I kept hearing the word Waymaker, and I heard the phrase man of peace. The man of peace in the biblical sense is the kind of person who connects the dots and brings people and circumstances together. Sometimes in our modern culture, we call those people networkers or the tipping point. But they're people who bring together people over just the right things at just the right moment, and they tip the scale in one direction or the other and creates unstoppable momentum. And so as I was praying for Gage and looking at him there, I just had this deep sense that he's a way maker in the process of growing and developing, and giving me a really serious look right now. Yes. He's like going, what have you done to me? What have you put on me here? And so, you know, there are many plans in the heart of God, but only time and obedience can reveal God's ultimate plan and purpose for the life of a child. So I pray that these words will be to you an encouragement for you to remain faithful yourselves and to bring him up in such a way that we find out just what God's incredible purpose and plan is in the scope of eternity. Let's pray for him this morning. And Father, we come before you to surrender this child to your plans and your purposes for his life. You've given Gage to his parents, to their family, to this church, to care for him and to see him through this life. May we now ever endeavor to be faithful to the commitment and to the vows that we now make, that we will live our lives, our calling out in such a way that as we follow you, that we will represent to Gage our very best and to represent you in the best possible light by living according to the purposes and plans that you have for us. And we now dedicate Gage Christian Gordon in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Love that smile. Yeah. Thank you. God bless you. All right. I'm going to go with Rhett next. Where's Rhett? There he is. No particular order, really. Well, a little bit. I'll explain later, but anyhow. Come on up. Rhett Osred Bennett, born to Richard and Katie on February 12, 2016. And the name Rhett is of Welsh origin, and it means ardent or fiery. It's looking pretty ardent and fiery this morning. All right. I was thinking to myself, they're going to think about this more in years to come. They have a habit, I was teasing him just this morning, of naming their kids really powerful, challenging names. You know, every time I think of one of their child's names, I think to myself, wow, that is a powerful name. So I'm not sure what they're going to do when they all get to be teens. Last time we dedicated Brant, which meant wielder of the sword. So I just thought, you know, and then God gave me this like really intense word for him. And, you're not done. So, and his middle name is Osred, which means he who receives counsel from God, which I think is really smart if you're going to name your kid Fiery. So as I was praying for Rhett, I got this feeling very similar to the one when I prayed over Brant. So at this point, you may say, I don't want you to pray over my kids anymore. But I really heard distinctly the word evangelist every time I prayed over him. Not like a TV preacher, but I mean as a person who has the gift of evangelism. And I don't know if you know this, but in all the studies on the church and everything, the estimate is that less than 10% of the body of Christ actually has the gift. The rest of us just have to do it the old-fashioned way, and it's tough. But my sense was that God has made him an evangelist, and that gift, of course, comes with a lot of energy, and I felt like the Lord was saying, you know, to guard him from any labels. Don't let the world or school or the church sedate him. And I know that's going to require some extra patience on your part as well, but the passage I got for Rhett is Jeremiah 20, verse 9. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary from withholding it in, and I cannot. Well, many are the plans, of course, in the heart of God, but only time and obedience will reveal God's ultimate plan and purpose for his life. So I pray that these words are encouragement to you to remain faithful yourselves, so that we might see what God is going to do with his life in the big scheme of eternity. Let's pray. Father, we've come before you to surrender Rhett this morning to your plans and purposes for his life. You've given him to his parents, to his family, and to this church to care for him, to see him through this life. I pray that we ever endeavor to be faithful to this commitment and to the vow that we now make, that we may live out our calling and follow you, that we will represent you to him in the best possible light by living our lives according to your purpose and plans for us. And we now dedicate Rhett Osred Bennett in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'm looking at parents, and they're already, some of them, starting to have second thoughts. Like, was this a good idea after some of the things he's, okay. You guys want to come on up? The Radcliffes, come on up. We're going to start with Merrick. All right. Merrick William Radcliffe, born to Tom and Jerrica Radcliffe on October 4th, 2013. They said they chose Merrick because it means strong and manly, and William, which means protector. And they indicated to me that he was most definitely living up to his name so far, as he's incredibly strong, both in body and in will. And I know that your prayer is that he would be strong for the Lord and a protector of the innocent. And as I was praying for Merrick, I got this picture of a man reading Bible manuscripts, deep in thought. And I got the sense that he was passionate about the Bible, but not like a pastor, but like a scholar. And the verse I got for him was from Daniel chapter 1, verses 17 to 20. And God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, the king, and spoke with them. And among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in his kingdom. Wow, you got big shoes to fill there, bud. Yeah. All right. Well, as I say, many are the plans of the heart of God. Only time and obedience can reveal God's ultimate plan and purpose for his life. But I pray that these words would be an encouragement to you to remain faithful yourselves and bring him up in such a way that we discover what God's incredible plan and purpose for him is. Let's pray. Father, we come before you to surrender Merrick to your plans and your purposes for his life. You've given Merrick to his parents, to his family, and to this church to care for him, to see him through this life. May we ever endeavor to be faithful to this commitment and to the vow that we now make, that we will live out our calling ourselves and follow you, that we will represent you to him in the best possible light by living our lives according to the purpose and plan that you have for our lives. And we now dedicate Merrick William Radcliffe in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Carver. Let's switch places there. There we go. All right. Carver Jonathan Radcliffe was born to you September 19th, 2015. Carver was chosen because you longed to see him carve out the name of Christ through his life, that you longed to have him leave his mark on the world through influencing others to be more like Jesus. And Jonathan was selected to honor your father because of its Hebrew meaning, Jehovah has given. As I prayed for Carver, I felt this clear sense that God had heard your prayers for Carver and gifted him with leadership, specifically in the form of a charismatic personality. I suspect from early on he will constantly have kids around him, that he will be an influencer, and that at times he will test the resolve of adults who lack clear boundaries or cool heads. He should be seen as an asset to adult leaders who will wisely employ his gifts from very early on. And the verse I got for Carver was Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. It's not a lengthy word, but I expect that you will soon see his influence at work. And that mom and dad, be wise parents. Let this little guy begin to, he's going to influence even his siblings. And I would recommend you jump on the Carver train and mold his influence so that you're not resisting it. So see it as a gift that you've prayed for and don't be intimidated by any of the surprises along the way. Many are the plans in the heart of God, but only time and obedience can reveal God's ultimate plan for his life. I pray that these words are an encouragement to you to remain faithful yourselves. Let us pray. Father, we come before you to surrender this child to your plans and purpose for his life. You've given Carver to his parents, to their family, to this church to care for him and to see him through this life. May we ever endeavor to be faithful to this commitment and to the vow that we now make, that we will live our lives and our calling in such a way that we represent to you in the very best of light your calling on our lives, according to your purpose and your plan. And we now dedicate Carver Jonathan Radcliffe in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Sawyer. Let's get Sawyer up next. Come on up here, Sawyer. He's ready to go. Sawyer Luke Sullivan was born to Zach and Allie Sullivan on October 5th, 2015. The name Sawyer is Celtic in origin and became popular in English as well. It literally means one who cuts timber. And Luke has long been a very popular name among Christians because of the apostolic writer, physician, that penned the Gospel of Luke in the book of Acts. The name is derived from Greek meaning light bearer or giver of light. And when I was praying for him, I heard distinctly peacemaker. Not peaceful, not peaceable, mom and dad, but peacemaker. And I got Matthew chapter 5. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And I was perplexed exactly what the Lord was putting in my heart in this one. And as I continued to pray, I felt like this little guy is going to grow up to be a guy who brings peace, who commands peace, who by his very presence brings peace to others. But specifically, one who makes peace, not like in a passive way, but in a kingdom of God kind of way, of one who puts forth the cause of one who presses the cause of peace, who speaks to others and has a commanding presence that makes others desire to make peace. And so he's the kind of guy that you want in the midst of conflict, as a voice of reason and a deep abiding sense of knowing what God is saying in the midst of difficult times, to make peace when peace seems unattainable. Many plans there are in the heart of God, but only time and obedience can reveal what God's ultimate plan is for him. So I pray these words will be an encouragement for you to remain faithful yourselves and to bring him up in such a way that we might see what God's incredible purpose is for him in the scope of eternity. Let's pray. Father, we come before you to surrender Sawyer to your plans and your purposes for his life. You have given him to his parents, to their family, and to this church to care for him and to see him through this life. May we ever endeavor to be faithful to this commitment and to the vow that we now make, that we will live out our lives and our calling and follow you so that we represent you to him in the best possible light by living our lives according to your purpose and plans for our lives. And we now dedicate Sawyer Luke Sullivan in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Okay. Can I get Amber Lynn to come on up? There. You got to save the girl for last, right? I also purposely saved Amberlyn May Chisholm for last because this one is particularly emotional to me and to a number of folks here. She was born to Jimmy and Cindy on August 8th, 2015. And this little bundle of joy arrived with her twin sister, Skylar. And they came a little early. And sadly, they've had to put Skylar into the arms of the Father. And that's hard. That's a huge challenge. It's a lot for a family to process. There's a lot of pain. And I want to commend them to you because, you know, their decision to press forward and to come today and do this dedication is a really big step. You know, it's easy to believe that God has a great plan for you when everything's going your way. It's not when you lose a child. And so these are moments of faith that exceed our ability to explain or comprehend and can only be walked out by faith. And so I just want to commend you guys for walking in faith. So Amberlynn May, what has God got for you? When you told me that her name was in part because you danced to the music of the band Amberlynn when you got married, and also because her name means both hand, with both hands, and Jimmy being a musician, they thought that was fitting. And as I was praying for her, I actually felt like God put on my heart the words double portion. And then her name May is from the Greek meaning pearl. And as to understand, you know, a pearl is made when something invades the soft tissue of the clam or the mussel. There's an old story about it being like a piece of sand, but actually it's a defense mechanism against infection or some kind of parasite or something like that. It's when real hardship comes to the clam and they can't do anything about it. And so the clam produces more mother of pearl to cover that which is causing them pain so that it can no longer do them harm. I could not but see how God may have already begun to spoke to you about your healing. And as I was praying for Amberlynn, I felt led to Isaiah 61:7. And there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot, and therefore in the land they shall possess the double portion, and they shall have everlasting joy. And what I sensed is that God is going to give to Amberlynn a double portion of every good thing, gifts, talents, intelligence, that some will in fact envy and think it too much. But before they envy, they must know to whom much is given, also much is required, and that God is going to use all these talents and gifts for his glory. So early on, that she will stand out. And then this for you, Mom and Dad, that I believe that God is going to cover your hurts with his grace and his favor in such a way that even though the hurt does not go away, what caused the hurt doesn't change, that God will use it to make something beautiful and valuable, even though that's hard to embrace right now. Many are the plans in the heart of God, but only time and obedience can ultimately reveal God's plans and purposes for her life. And I pray that these words are a comfort to you and an encouragement to you to hang on and see what God is going to do through her life in the big picture of eternity. For that reason, let us pray. Father, we've come before you to surrender this precious little girl to your plans and your purposes for her life. You've given Amberlynn to her parents and to this church and to their family to care for her and to see her through this life. May we ever endeavor to be faithful to this commitment and to the vow that we now make, that we will live out your calling ourselves and follow you, that we will represent you to her in the best possible light by living our lives according to your purpose and your plans for our lives. And we now dedicate Amberlynn May Chisholm in Jesus' name. Amen. Precious, all of them. And what a great gift that God has given to this body. I do pray that we really endeavor to create a place that these kids grow up with just real passion for Jesus because of what they experience here. You know, baby dedication reminds us of several things. It reminds us that God has created each and every one of us with a purpose and a plan. And that in the midst of that is we're living life and waiting for God's plan to unfold, that sometimes complications come our way. Events happen. Things that are done to us. Things that we have no control over. Sometimes decisions that we've made in the past, and now they're affecting us in a way that we would so desire to change. And so I want to say to you this morning, you know, the thing that I love about God is that he is the God of the second chance, that every morning is new with him. And so I want to say to you this morning that we're going to have some prayer team people up here. Let me invite you that to come and get some prayer this morning for the things that didn't turn out the way that you thought they should have, for the things that may have happened in your life that have taken you captive, have stolen your joy, taken away dreams or anything else like that, that you would come and surrender those to Him and ask Him to write a new chapter in your life, to set you back on the trajectory of your life that He has for you, that you would fulfill all the things that God wants to do in your life. Because here's the thing, as long as you are here, as long as you are living and breathing, God has a purpose and a plan for your life for today. And I want to encourage you to embrace that and not to be afraid or to think yourself too old or unable or anything else. And second, as we celebrate the lives of little ones, you know, I know that there are some folks here that maybe you've had a miscarriage or you've lost a little one. And a moment like this has a way of kind of opening up wounds, causing them to resurface. I know there are some here today that always wanted to have a child, and it being Mother's Day, this is one of the most difficult days of the year. And I just want to say to you that our Father in heaven loves you and He is for you, and that I want to invite you to come and get some prayer this morning, that you wouldn't just ignore those feelings this morning, that you wouldn't just stuff them and let them bottle up and pressure up under the guise of wisdom and maturity, but that you would come and ask God for His healing power for your pain this morning. And last, I want to say to every parent who's had a child that you dedicated, that you raised up in church, and you thought to yourself, man, I've done everything possible. I prayed over them, and I don't understand why they've walked away from the Lord. Maybe you're angry with God this morning for letting it happen. Maybe you're angry with the church because the church where you're at, you just felt like they didn't do enough. Maybe you're questioning yourself and you think, what did I do or not do? Why is it other people's kids turned out this way or that way? And I want to say to you as well that when you come to the Lord and you pour out your heart, that He will not rebuff you. That even in the worst of circumstances, in the most trying of things, even where you may feel like you have utterly failed as a parent, can I tell you that His grace is so much bigger than all of your failures? Can I tell you that there are many people who didn't grow up in a Christian home and have come to faith in Jesus Christ because of people were praying for them and believing for them? And so never give up praying for that adult child. Never give up praying for that child who's gone a different direction than you thought they would. Never give up praying. Because here's what I know. That He really is the God of the final hour. And that many a person in that final hour is called out and found salvation and hope and healing in His name. Can I tell you that many a person has grown up and gone their own way for their entire life? And I got to tell you that one of the sweetest things I've ever gotten to do is to baptize people who are in their 80s and 90s who came to Christ. It is never too late. Don't stop praying for that child who you've seen go astray. Well, with all of that said, let me say that I am so excited about these babies and about what God's doing with them and in their lives. And so let's stand. I'm going to ask the worship team, go ahead and come on up. And as they're coming, let me invite you to stand. Let's go to God in worship. So, Father, we come to You today full of emotion. For some of us right now, our hearts are and our minds are fixed on challenges and difficulties, trials and circumstances. And so I pray right now that even in the midst of this, that you would breathe their comfort, that they would sense your presence even now ministering to them, and that this place would become a place of prayer and healing and hope. I pray that around this room, people would begin to pray for one another and lift one another up, that we would really be the family of God and be the greatest example to the children in the room, that this is a safe place to say that even on an important and wonderful day like this, that it's okay for me to get hope, to get prayer for healing. Even on an important and fun day like this, it's okay for my heart to be heavy and that I can be real and honest with my brothers and sisters and ask for their prayer. Would you make this a really safe place today in the name of Jesus? I pray, Father, that for all of those who are celebrating and rejoicing over babies and over Mother's Day and having this celebration, I pray, Father, would you fill them with supernatural joy this day? Would you raise these children up? And for every child, even this morning, that did not go through dedication, but every parent who set their heart on raising their child to know you and to love you and to serve you, would you hear their plans and would you bring to fruition every good thing that's prayed this morning? And Father, would you be with us now as we continue to worship you? Would you send us out from this place to go and to be hope and light to our community? Would you make us ambassadors for Christ, missionaries to the world, to love God, to love people, and to pass it on. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to go, God bless you. Please, if you would, leave the room quietly for those who stay to worship and to pray. And if you would like to stay and pray, let me invite you to come.